Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I love being in church on Wednesday night. Yeah. You know, anytime we're in church, amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, we got a couple of extra opportunities coming up this week, hey? You know, of course, Sunday morning, we know we'll always be here. Sunday night and Monday night, 7 o'clock, both services this week. Hey, so many times, you know, people are like, always asking, oh, Pastor, I need help with this, I need help with that. Well, I about guarantee you some, if not all, of those things will be addressed in these special meetings. So many times, you know, those special meetings, they're there to provide some extra help. Amen. And so don't miss this coming weekend. It's going to be awesome. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles here tonight, please join me over in Ephesians chapter 4, which just so happens to be our FC Bible focus chapter for this week. Ephesians chapter 4. Appreciate so many of you following along there. I know I've communicated with several of you there via Facebook and things. A good way to use Facebook. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can encourage the Word of God. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be making a post real soon. No selfies included, right? Amen. Of the verse. Actually, I'm going to be preaching on the verse that I've been meditating this week out of Ephesians, so praise the Lord. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start there right around the 8th verse, but of course on Wednesday nights over the last several weeks, I've been teaching out of the book of Ephesians, and of course, we kind of went the first few weeks there, we went all through chapter 1, and I know we're just about ready to start chapter 2, which is such an awesome chapter, and here I am jumping over to chapter 4, but that's because this is going to kind of build on what we talked about last week on Wednesday night. We talked about the unveiling of the church, and we remember that, or the unveiling or the revealing of the church. And last week, we looked in Ephesians chapter 1, and we saw who we are as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not just because it's family church, but any church that preaches Christ, preaches the gospel, any born-again believer on the face of the earth would fit in that definition. Amen. And we saw who we are. We saw, number one, that we, of course, all together, any local church body, also the body of Christ in general, contains within it the full measure of Jesus himself. So when all of us come together, when we gather in his name, Jesus, of course, promised that he would be in the midst with us. And, of course, where he is, there's fullness, right? And the fullness of his abilities, the fullness of everything that he can do is always ever present inside the church. Amen. The church is the organism that God has chosen to reveal himself to the earth. It is like we said last week, it is like a portal looking into heaven, right? This is a place where we have heaven on earth. Amen. And of course, the good news is you can take it home. Amen. You can take it home with you. Praise the Lord. We saw that also as the body of Christ, we can contain the completeness. This is a place where completeness happens. Amen. And we also said this, that we exercise the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And fourthly, we saw that we exercise the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. And so many people that have this idea that if God wants to do something, he will just do it regardless of what anybody says or does. He doesn't need anybody to do what his to fulfill his plans. No, God instituted the church for the sake of executing his will on this earth. Of course, just something simple as the Lord's Prayer tells us that he needs us to work with, right? You know, he told us, pray that God's will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. If it was just automatic, then you wouldn't need to pray for it. And so God needs people cooperating with him. The Bible calls us fellow workers or co-workers with God, co-laborers with God. Amen. And so he needs us. And, of course, we don't say that to exalt humanity or to try to put us on the same level as God or something like that. You understand, we're not the same rank. But God needs his body on this earth doing his will to fulfill his plans for this earth. Praise the Lord. So we're going to kind of build on that tonight. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. And again, we are just taking the time to focus on some good sound doctrine. All right. If you're here for a motivational speech, you're not going to find one, especially on a Wednesday night, right? Well, you won't find one on a Sunday morning either, praise the Lord, because we're going to take the doctrine right off the pages of the Bible. Amen. Of course, we get over here to Ephesians chapter 4, and he's going to go a little further, kind of describing the design of the local church, telling us how he instituted the executive offices of the ministry and how this relationship between minister and congregation, how that works. But also, you know, overall, it describes the church family. Praise God. And it's going to describe our part in the supply that we bring to the body of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's go ahead. We're going to start there in verse 8. And these are familiar passages of Scripture for you. And then we're going to read all the way down through the 17th verse. We're going to probably skip a couple verses there in between. But starting in verse 8, it says, "Wherefore he saith, when he, Jesus, ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." And there's a lot of theology in that one verse, and we won't take the time to go into all of it. But it talks about when Jesus, of course, he ascended after he first, the scripture there tells us that he first descended. He descended into the lower parts of the earth. Jesus paid our debt in hell for us. Aren't you glad? But he didn't stay there. He ascended up on high. And when he ascended up on high and sat down at the right hand of the Father, it says he gave gifts to the body of Christ. He gave gifts to men, all right, and women, praise the Lord. And he now go down to verse 11, and it tells us what those gifts are. Those gifts are not for the Old Testament. They're for the New Testament, all right? And we start by taking a look at the fivefold ministry offices, the fivefold ministry gifts that God gave to the body of Christ. And of course, we're just going to, we're not going to camp out on this for too long. And it says, and he gave, meaning he gave these gifts. All right, some apostles. The first gift that he gave wasn't money, all right, or something like that. He was giving ministry offices. He said, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Is there any saints here tonight? Praise the Lord. Not the New Orleans saints. Praise God. I know that was such a weak, dumb joke. I actually feel a little bit embarrassed for even trying it. See, that was funnier than the joke. That's how you bail out a bad joke right there. If you're ever wondering, well, praise the Lord. To bring your sense of humor here tonight. For the perfecting, that word perfecting means the maturing of the saints. How many of you want to become more mature in God? Yeah, all right, praise God. For the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So guess who does the work of the ministry? Yeah, the saints do, right? The believers, you know, what we're here, this relationship between the ministry office and the church or the congregation is that I'm equipping you to do ministerial work. Amen. Some people, you know, some folks have the idea that the pastor just does all the ministry work. Oh, no, no, no. We're each being raised up and equipped to fulfill the work of the ministry. Can we bring this up in the Amplified? It makes it a little bit more clear. You know, some people think, well, the pastor's in the ministry. He works full time. You know, he does, he's the one that just should do everything. We just sit here and listen. Well, no. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of the ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church. Amen. So guess who has been given the role of building up God's church? Yeah, all right. Three of you are excited about that. Yep. My role is to equip you to build the church. To equip you to build the church. Also, the ministry offices help to grow us up and to mature us so we don't get hurt. And it tells us that in verses 13 and 14, we'll read it in the King James. It says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or mature person, man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive." And so this tells us what the ministry offices do for us, okay? No, I am not an apostle. I am not a prophet. I am not an evangelist, but I am a pastor and I am a teacher, okay? And these things are all generally true of all of these ministry offices, okay? They will help raise us up, make us more mature so we are not tossed to and fro in this earth. You ever seen Christians that are living life tossed to and fro? I about guarantee you in almost every case, they don't sit under a true pastor. Because one of the main revelations of the ministry offices is always stability. And notice people who are not connected to the ministry offices, well, what are they? They're tossed to and fro. They're just bouncing around life, you know. They're not maturing in God. They're not growing in God. They're not, you know, fulfilling God's plan for them in the earth. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Oh, see, there are things at every given moment trying to get into this church. Different doctrines, different things that don't belong, things that are unscriptural. We are seeing a modern humanistic church in America today where wrong doctrines are prevailing and things are getting in. See, somebody who's a true pastor should know and recognize those things. Keep those things out so it does not hurt the people. Amen. It is protection. It is growing up. It is stability. Amen. The ministry offices were given to us so that we would not be deceived. Amen. Praise the Lord. When I say all this, I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about the ministry offices. I feed and partake off ministry offices. I have a pastor. Amen. And I partake of the offices that are upon his life. Praise the Lord. And they keep me safe. Glory to God. They help me. He helps grow, you know, for me to grow and to become stronger and not be deceived. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so it's a wonderful thing that God gave gifts to the body of Christ, right, to keep us safe. Amen. Praise the Lord. And of course, that is our relationship. That's what's going on every time we gather here together. Amen. And when I say this, I'm not saying this in any kind of arrogance. Don't misunderstand me. This is true of any ministry office. When they do their part and they stand in that pulpit and they deliver the word of God and they follow the Spirit of God, they are bringing a great supply to us. Okay? Folks, I just want you to know I take it very seriously, the supply that I bring to you and to your life as your pastor. Amen. I take that very, very seriously. I am not going to ever stand up here and ever give you some kind of entertaining, motivational speech. I'm going to feed you the word. I'm going to put something in your life that's going to strengthen you, that's going to help you, so that's going to, you'll recognize when the deception tries to knock on your door, you're going to have the right answers. Praise the Lord, you know? And so thank God for those men and women in the body of Christ that bring their supply, glory to God, week in, week out. You know, when you see anybody who's going to be in this pulpit, of course, most of the time it's going to be me. Other times it's going to be my wife. It might be Pastor Brad or some of these other ministers that we have around here. We don't put people in the pulpit who aren't going to feed the sheep. If they're there to try to deceive, if they're there, you know, trying to exalt themselves or something, it's just real simple. They don't come back. They don't come back. So you can have complete confidence that whoever I invite to be in this pulpit, they got something good for you. They got something good for you. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And so what a blessing the ministry, the fivefold ministry offices are to our lives. Amen. They keep us safe, keep us stable. Praise the Lord. They grow us up. Amen. Now, verse 15 says this, "But speaking the truth in love, that we would grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Verse 16 is the verse I've been spending the time with. "From whom," meaning Christ, "from Christ the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies." Say that word with me. Say supplies. Yeah. Notice every joint supplies. You can say it this way. That word joint is just meaning every part, meaning every person. Every person supplies. Every person supplies. "According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, not just the pastor's part, every part, right? According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Boy, I tell you, that verse is awesome. I'll tell you, of course, it's highlighted in my Bible. This is the verse, as I've just been, you know, reading through Ephesians chapter 4. This is the verse. Honestly, I can hardly get past it. You know, I know we're supposed to be reading the whole chapter, but I have to admit, I've just been stopping at verse 16, and I've been meditating on that. Because, wow, it's powerful. And, of course, I heard so many sermons preached by Dr. Dufresne. He loved Ephesians 4:16, you know, and he always talked about, you know, every joint supplying and playing its part. Praise the Lord. But now we're not going to stop right there. We're going to go another verse or two. Verse 17, this I say therefore. Okay? That means what he just said in verse 16, he's going to tell us why he said it. This is why I just made that big grand statement about the body being joined together and every person playing their part. All right? Praise the Lord. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk or behave or live not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now go back up to verse 17 real quick. All right, this I say therefore. Now remember, what was he saying? He was talking about everyone being joined to the local body, right? This I say therefore and testify the Lord that you henceforth live not as other Gentiles live in the vanity of their mind. That word Gentiles just simply means people that don't know God, right? People that are not in fellowship with God, all right? And of course, verse 16 is the reason why he said this. Stay there in verse 17. Praise the Lord. Notice exactly, you know, what he's talking about here. People that do not have a revelation of the local church, they walk in the vanity of their own mind. All right? They have their understanding darkened. Oh, come on now. Look at verse 17. He said, this I say, therefore, testify in the Lord, that you don't live as other Gentiles live. What is he talking about? Don't live outside of the body like people who don't know God live outside of the body. See, the difference between us and the difference between us and unbelievers is that we're connected to the body and they're not. We should not live and look like, right? You know what I mean? We shouldn't behave like people who aren't connected to the body. That's the biggest difference about us as believers versus those who aren't. It's not just that we're going to heaven and they're not. The difference is that we're connected to the body of Christ. Glory to God. We get to be part of this awesome organism called the Church of the Living God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Yes. This therefore I testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So now we see why people go blind in their heart. We see why people are ignorant in life. Now we understand why they're alienated from the life of God. Now we understand why they have their understanding darkened. Now we understand why they walk in the vanity of their mind. You know what that is? Selfishness. Now we see where selfishness comes from, where they have no skill in this life, because they're disconnected from the local body. Think about it. Remember when you were disconnected from the local body? I remember when I was, and what were we? Tossed to and fro. What were we? Destroyed all the time. Come on now. Think about how important it is to be connected to the body of Christ, to a local church body. Amen. Like I said, this is what makes the unbeliever so blind, so darkened in their understanding, so vain and selfish. They don't have a revelation of the local church, meaning they aren't bringing a measure to a local body. But guess what? Every single one of us here tonight have a measure to bring. Every single one of us have a measure to bring. And if we have a measure to bring, hallelujah, then we can have all the opposite of what unbelievers are dealing with. Our minds won't be vain. Our understanding won't be darkened. Praise the Lord. You know, we can walk in God's wisdom. We can walk in his plan, his provision, all that stuff. You don't have to be ignorant. You don't have to be blind in your heart. Praise the Lord. Notice what blessing God has attached to bringing a measure to the local body. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go back up to verse 16 because this is what he's talking about. Let's go up there to verse, 16. You know, how many of you got the text message tonight? Yeah, or this afternoon? Yeah, before you came here tonight. Well, no, I'm not preaching a message on just, giving or finances and stuff like that. Actually, I wasn't originally even intending to go look at Philippians 4:19. But, so many times we as believers, what we do is we confess, my God shall supply, which we absolutely should confess that. That's what the word says. But you know what? So many times we forget to say, I am a supply. I am a supply. You know, so many times we just, we look at Philippians 4:19 as a verse that was written to people that were in need. Okay, that is true. But that verse was not written because those people had a need. That verse was written to them because they brought a supply. Come on now, praise the Lord. So many times it's always about, again, I'm going to hit this, and I've been hitting this the last several weeks. You know, we go to God, and it's always about our needs. And we forget that it's not just our needs that need to be supplied. It's his needs that need to be supplied. Come on. Yeah, I have a supply. God's a rich supply towards me. But guess what? I'm a supply to him. I am a supply. And I, God isn't the only one meeting needs around here. We are also meeting his needs. Praise the Lord. You know, so many times it's always about what we're going to get. How about what it is that we're going to supply? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Because notice, first of all, that each and every one of us, we have a measure to bring, a measure to supply to our local body. All right? Okay, if we all have that measure, that means that we are providers more than we are the needy. Right? Praise the Lord. Look at verse 16. It says, from Christ, the whole body, or you could say it this way, the local church, fitly joined together and compacted. You know what that means? I had to study that out because what does it mean to be joined together and compacted? You know, it literally means compacted. It means to be together, and not just together, but to be closely together. All right, meaning God leaves no room for loose associations in the body of Christ. Let me say that again. God leaves no room for loose association in the body of Christ. Meaning that the word itself even distinguishes those that are very much connected versus those that are just loosely connected. Okay? I don't know about you, but I'm glad that the parts of my body are not loosely connected. I'm glad that they're in the right place, bringing their measure today. Praise the Lord, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. Compacted meaning close together. By that which every joint supplies. What brings us close together? By everyone bringing their supply. Okay? By every measure participating and bringing their part. We are joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies. And Dr. Dufresne, he used to say it all the time, so many Christians, they're out of joint. They're out of joint. You know what I mean? If you have a bone or something, a ligament or whatever that's out of joint, it's very painful. The body is now hindered, can't do as much. You know, that's a picture of so many Christians today. They're out of joint. They're looking at the church. I'll tell you what, the devil has done something very, very subtle. He is working to get Christians to believe that the church is just about getting their needs met. Yes, it does supply all your needs. Yes, you know, your individual lives are increased and blessed, but that's only possible when our measures are in the right place. So many times, God wants us to be supply-minded before we're need-minded. So, a lot of unbelievers, they criticize Christians for just, you know, they criticize people of religion because people only run to religion when they have a need. You know, and of course, you know, their heart is wrong and they're trying to attack people of faith and everything. But, you know, to some degree, some of that is actually right. Some of that is right, where God's people only run to him when they're, you know, when they're in trouble. And they're only need-minded. It's always about just get this away from me, you know, give this to me. I want something better. I want this. I need that. I got a relationship. I need, but, you know, it's always about our stuff. You know what I mean? But we are first graced with a measure to be a supply. Yeah, Philippians 4:19 wasn't written to those that were just in need. It was written to givers. It was written to people who love to bring a supply to God's plan. Amen. And we may just go ahead and jump on over and take a look at that a little bit. And of course, we should constantly say, my God shall supply. But at the same time, we should also have a heart that says, and I'm going to supply. I'm going to be a supply. Think about it this way, okay? If we were always supply-minded over need-minded, think about it this way. If we just said, I am a supply. I am a supply. I am a supply. If you are a supply, doesn't that already take care of your needs? You know what I mean? Like, isn't that, I don't want just my needs met in my life. I want to be a substantial supply to God's house. And see, I don't want to just have my needs met. I want my needs met by the overflow of me, you know, wanting to be a provider to the things of God. Amen. You know, so many times I just think, I see believers, it's just they get so consumed with their needs. Have you gotten consumed with the supply? You know, have you desired with all of your heart to be a supply? Because that is what the body of Christ is about. That's what we're here. God didn't make me. I didn't get born again to become needy. I was born again to become a supply. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is so good. Amen. All right, why don't we? Well, we might hear in just a little bit. We might just get over there. All right. So let's start here in verse 16 and start looking at the things that we are as we're a part of the local body. Notice this. It says in the end of verse 16, making increase of the body. Making increase. I don't know about you, but I want my local church to increase. All right? And it's not because I'm the pastor of it. You know, we should have that heart and that desire regardless of what our role is here. We should always have a heart and desire that our church has all the personnel it needs. Amen. It has a full supply of finances, full supply of property. Listen, there used to be a mentality in America that the church gets the nicest available in town. You know what I mean? That used to be the mentality in America when America was much more of a godly country, right? There was always, you know, God's house first. You can look at even at a town like ours that has a lot of history. You know, you'll see those big cathedrals and things. They were built up on the hills. They were built up on the place where they would be seen the most. They were decorated with such ornate, you know, they were so gorgeous and all their, you know, I mean, just all the materials that were used were the best. That's because they had a mindset, you know, to provide God's house with the absolute best. Amen. Praise the Lord. The first thing that we are, as the body of Christ, or what we're here for, is to increase the body. Praise the Lord. Number one, I am here to increase this local body. And that is not just exclusive to the pastor. All right? I am ministering the word of God. I am serious about your life increasing. I'm serious about you knowing God and fulfilling his plan. Hallelujah. But I'm not the only one who brings a supply around here. All right, we all have a supply to bring. We all have a measure to bring. Listen, there's something wrong with a Christian who does not sit around and daydream about their church expanding. You know what I mean? We should all have, like, literally, that's how I would consider it. We should dream. You know, so often we dream about our stuff. You know, our next pay raise, our next house, all this stuff. We should be dreaming about our church growing in influence, growing in souls. You know, growing in locations and properties and things like that. Praise the Lord. God has not given us a mandate to just sit around and do nothing, has he? There's souls to win. There's people to pastor. There's a world to show Jesus. Amen. I'm here to increase this local body. You've heard me say this, and I'm when I'm talking about myself, I'm just being, you know, proverbial. Like, this is the mentality that we all should have. I'm a kingdom builder. A kingdom builder. Someone who loves to increase my local church. Praise the Lord. That's what we were made to be. Glory to God. The body is developed upon each one of us bringing our measure and putting them all together. Listen to this. The devil, like I said, has done something very subtle. He has convinced the church that the church's purpose is to increase the lives of the individual. All right, yes, our individual lives can be blessed and will be blessed and will increase, but that's not the priority. That is not the end destination, okay? Listen, that's out of order. I am here to increase this local body. When my measure is in the right place, then my measure increases, and then I get to enjoy the benefits. Does that make sense? I'm going to say that again. When my measure is in the right place, then my measure increases, and I enjoy the benefits. All right? We will enjoy the benefits of increasing God's house. Praise the Lord. You say, okay, Pastor, you keep talking about this measure, the supply that we all bring. What are you specifically talking about? It can be a host of things. First of all, you're doing that here tonight. Being there. Being there. All right? You can't be a supply to your church if you're not there. All right? And so you're all doing that, and that is, you know, one of the most basic things that we can do, support our local church by being there. Anything that we do, whether it's our Wednesday night, Sunday morning, we have special services, whatever it is, you know, we first are a supply by being there. Then we keep, you know, obviously doesn't end there. Then we supply with how we act and react in the service. All right, did you bring your measure of praise here? You know, excuse me, you know, we can praise. Obviously we sit there, we respond to the word. We bring our joy, we bring our faith. You know, we don't just take a nap and count the ceiling boards and things like that. Praise the Lord. We bring a good measure to the local church. Glory to God. You know, also, yeah, finances are part of it. Listen, I'm going to say things that might make some people mad. I don't care, you know, if you get mad or upset. If somebody, if a born-again believer has a resistant heart to give to a church, you got a problem. You got something between you and God. Listen, and so I don't feel bad for talking about being a rich supply, yes, even financially, to the local church. It's amazing to me when we see this world and all the people that are out supporting, you know, things that mean nothing, wicked agendas, you know, especially if you see what's going on in the political realm. We're talking, there are millionaires and billionaires that are raised up just funding this chaos. You know, funding protests, funding, you know, all this stuff, trying to keep it going, try to, you know, demean our president and all this stuff that's, you know, happening. There's people there to fund that. And I thought to myself, because I heard a story, I was listening about some individuals that have millions and millions of dollars, that they just keep funding these riots, they're funding these protests, all that stuff. I'm thinking, where are the kingdom funders? You know, and believe me, we don't have to wait for a millionaire or billionaire to do things for God. We have, you know, our God owns it all anyhow. But you know what I mean? I mean, how do people get so behind those kind of agendas, but yet when it comes to a church, you know, growing and expanding, they get resistant? Listen, I'll tell you what, we should be more excited about the mandate and the plans and purposes that God has for our local church than those people that are, you know, just funding, you know, worthless things in the earth. Come on now. Praise the Lord. And no, you don't have to be a millionaire to have the heart to just say, man, I want my church to go further. Oh, glory to God. Yeah. Yeah. You will have a specific supply for what your church is called to do.
Amen.
Okay? Say, well, my church just has services, and that's the only thing we ever do. Well, no, there probably should be more around there somewhere. Not to diminish having services. That is first and foremost. Okay? But this church, you know, our only call is not to just have worship services. Our call is to plant other churches, right? And to spread the gospel through strong local Bible teaching churches. Amen? Praise the Lord. But everyone that's called or connected to a local body will have a specific supply for what that church is called to do. Meaning you have something that the plan needs. You have something that the plan needs. All right? I have something that the plan needs. You have something that the plan needs. Praise the Lord. Obviously, that's being here. That's bringing your supply during the service. That's bringing, you know, your finances. But that also is serving. Serving in the house of God. Amen. Bring a full supply. Serve when there's a need. When I was coming to church, when I was part of this church, I didn't start as the pastor. Just so you know that. I was a children's church worker. I was on worship team. God help us all. We've been delivered. You know, I was part of wherever the need was, right? And when the need arose, then we step up with our supply and we fill that need. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So there's needs. You know, we just announced some here tonight, didn't we? Our nursery, you know, our children's ministries could use some workers and things like that. What a great opportunity. Great opportunity. What are you doing? You're stepping up with your supply. You have something specific for what the church is called to do. You have something the plan needs. You have a measure to rally others around you, about what your church is called to do. Meaning, what a great example you can be to other people when they see you excited about your church. Excited about being a supply to your church. Listen, if a church is going to have kind of a ground fire break out, well, then it's got to start with somebody. You know, if someone's going to get excited about it, they need an example. You have a measure to be an example of how to kind of start that ground fire in your local church. When they see you excited about it, they get excited about it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yep. You will have that measure to rally others around that are also called to your same local body. Now listen to this. You will need to know what the strengths of your church are. You have to understand. All right? Now listen. You will need to know where your church fits within the community. What supply does this church bring to our community? It's not to compete with other churches. It's not to, you know, be better than another church or something. But Family Church, just like any church, will fit a specific need within that local body, okay? Or that local community. We need to know and understand that. What are your church's strengths? Well, let's hope that your church's strengths are first and foremost in Bible teaching. What is the goal here at Family Church? To be a strong Bible teaching church. Here's our second mandate, right? To be a church of the Holy Ghost. To welcome and to teach and to grow in the things of the Spirit, the manifestations of the Spirit. We are a Word and Spirit church, all right? We are not just an information church. We are a revelation church. Glory to God. You know, and I'll tell you just specifically what this church was called to this community for. Are you ready? And of course, I'm not saying that other churches are out there aren't doing this. But this church was brought to this community for the sake of stability. Amen. For the sake of stability. You need to know what need your pastor fills within that community. This area needed more strong Bible teaching. There was, especially in the Pentecostal circles, this area has been known, and unfortunately still is, for a lot of excess and flakiness within Pentecostal movements. the so-called, what we call the hyper-prophetic movement. You know, things that, you know, tell you everyone can be a prophet, everyone's going to, you know, be a prophet and all that stuff. That stuff is wrong. It hurts people. And a part of what this ministry was raised up to do was to bring sound doctrine and stability for people that are hungry for God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, and there's a reason why your pastor is a teacher. There's a reason why. There's a reason. Sometimes, you know, people, they get an appetite. They want their pastor to be more like a prophet. I am not a prophet. I don't stand in that office because that was not what this community needed at that time. Amen. Praise the Lord. That teacher's office was there to bring stability and insight into the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, you can praise God for the prophetic. Praise God for, you know, the real move of the Holy Ghost. But it has to be founded upon teaching of the Word of God. It absolutely does. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So you need to know the strengths of your church. Why? Because that's what you want to contribute towards. You know what I mean? That's what you want to be praying about. You want to know that mandate, and you want to serve within that mandate, right? You want to help your church achieve its part within the community. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, we should also, you know, we should constantly desire that our church has more than enough financially.
Yes.
More than enough financially. Glory to God. We do. Praise the Lord. But I'll tell you what, with all the things that we have the assignment to complete, it's going to take some people that want to supply the kingdom of God.
Amen. Sure.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I don't want to back away from the plan of God just because it requires a giver. That should absolutely excite every single one of us. Like I said, we should be daydreaming about our church growing, expanding, planning new church locations. You know, over the last 3 years, this church has planted 3 new church locations. Glory to God. Remember several years back when we gave the vision for all that? We said in the next 3 years there'd be 3 new churches that would come out. Well, praise the Lord. You know, you ran with that vision. There are people that are being helped in Mayville and Tonawanda and Erie. Praise the Lord, which, by the way, we got news today that our plans have been approved. That building's going to open within the next week. Glory to God. Amen. There's people calling us, emailing us all the time. When is that building going to open? They're excited. They want to get in there. They're hungry for the Word. They want to be taught. They want to be fed. Amen. You know what? And because every one of you, you know, ran with that vision, you brought your measure. Glory to God. And I'll tell you what. When you have been faithful to bring your measure and when you come up against a need, you watch and see what God's going to do for those that have been faithful when you face a need. He's going to supply it. He's going to supply it. He's going to go above and beyond. He's going to bring something to you that was better than it was before. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. All right. So we're still here in Ephesians 4:16. It says there, maketh increase of the body. That's what we said. Number one, we're here to be an increase to the body of Christ. I serve within this church to make an increase of this local body and everyone connected to it.
That's right.
And everyone connected to it. And so you need to ask yourself, what is my supply that I bring to my local church? And make that your priority. Instead of, well, let's, you know, so many people, they have this idea, what can I take out of the place? You know, the idea should be, what can I put into the place? Amen. You getting some help here tonight? All right. Here's the second thing in verse 16. It says this. It says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Notice this entire verse is talking about being connected to the local body. All right, so let's talk about the second thing. Let's talk about connection. Every part is connected to another. Notice that. There is no part within the body that is separate and not joined. Every part of the body. You know, if something happened in your body where there's a part in there floating around unconnected, there's going to be some x-rays going on. There's going to be some surgery going on. There's going to be some correction going on, right? And so there's none of us. There's no such thing as a lone ranger in the body of Christ. There's no such thing as someone that is just there, you know, I got my needs. I don't care about the needs of the mandate on the church. I just got to get my stuff taken care of, and then I'm going to move on. No, see, if you're doing that, then you are treating the church like a pair of crutches. You ever seen somebody that has crutches? You know, and they have crutches, and maybe they have a cast, and then their leg heals, the cast gets removed. And what happens to those crutches? They get discarded. You know, they were absolutely necessary for a while. Those crutches were exactly what that person needed to heal and to have that bone, you know, grow back together and all that stuff. But as soon as they're running again, those crutches get tossed in the corner and they get thrown in the dumpster. They might go to a garage sale or whatever, you know what I mean? They're just tossed out. No one cares about them anymore. That's what people do with the church. They go there with a need mindset. And they go and they want their needs, you know, they want their life fixed, which, listen, that's not wrong. It's not wrong getting the plan of God in your life and all of a sudden things start getting fixed. That's a good thing. But when the problems are then solved, we don't throw God into the corner of the room and forget the local church, right? See, people that do that is because they only were need-minded. But people that are supply-minded, they come to church with joy. They're glad to be there. They walk into the place. They're not, let me see what I can take out of here today. They're walking in and saying, look, what can I put in here? I want to see this place increase. You know, somebody who's on fire for God, they will want to hear the vision that's on their pastor's heart. They don't get disgruntled when the pastor starts sharing vision. They are hungry for vision. Praise the Lord. You know, when Pastor Michael started talking about starting a church in Jamestown, we weren't like, oh, great. What's that going to mean for us? You know, no, he started asking, you know, people can volunteer, sign up. And so many of us did. Praise the Lord. And I'm glad I did. I mean, I knew that God had a plan for me in that Jamestown church. I didn't realize what it was then at the time. But I tell you what, had I never known, I'm so glad I found out. So glad I was just excited. We would show up, and of course, Reverend Randy was there from day one, and with Pastor Michael, me and Katie, Pastor Brad came along pretty quick. And I mean, we would walk in to that little conference room. I mean, my goodness, it was just this tiny little room, and we would have church, and we'd go out for coffee, and we would sit and go park in front of different buildings around town, and we would daydream about our church growing. We'd daydream about our church, you know, building a building or buying a building or renovating a building. You know, we would just sit there, and here we were. We had like less than 10 people in the Holiday Inn, and yet there was people there that were just hungry for vision. They wanted to see the thing expand and increase. Remember that, Reverend Randy? Remember going down to Tim Hortons? We used to, remember the Hills building? It's now the Jamestown Area Medical Associates or whatever it is. The Riverwalk building right down there in Brooklyn Square. And at that time, Hills had become Ames, and Ames had gone out. You know, you couldn't get your slushy there anymore. Or your popcorn. Or you couldn't go and play Duck Hunt anymore. Remember playing Duck Hunt? I remember going into Hills and playing Duck Hunt. Yeah, boop-a-doop-a-doop-boo-doop. Yeah, I remember walking in there and smelling the popcorn, and the slushy machine is over there turning, and the hot dogs are on the little hot roller, you know. That, remember when they would have 10-cent hot dog day down at Hills, and everyone got hepatitis? You know, I stayed away from the hepatitis dogs. Yeah, I'm not, listen, no hepatitis is worth 10 cents. You remember that? Anyway, just a little Jamestown folklore for you. You know, Jamestown born and raised, you know, and that was part of our history. Yeah, just great memories of being a kid. You know, when I'd go down to Hills, I'd think of popcorn, I'd think of slushies, I'd think of Excite Bike, and I'd think of seagulls. Yeah, you know, seagulls were out there eating all that popcorn anyway. But anyway, so that building, of course, Hills went out, Ames went out. And that building was sitting there empty. And here we were with a church of 10 people on a good day, you know, down there in the Holiday Inn. And me and Reverend Randy, we would go get coffee. at Tim Hortons, and we would sit there and be like, think about how many people we could get into that building. Think about that building. Why not that? You know, of course, it wasn't the plan of God for us to have that building, but just to daydream about vision and expanding, you know. So many times Christians are so scared of tithes and offering times when there should be people out there that just love and get excited. It should be the one to be like, you know what? I'm going to be the one to pay off the building. I'm going to be the one. God could use me. Why not me? Why not you? Praise the Lord. You know, what is that? That's just a supply-minded believer. Glory to God. And yes, he's going to use all of us. But you know what? I'm just talking about a mentality, almost like a friendly competition. Let's race. Let's see who can pay it off first. Just in a, obviously, a lighthearted manner. But I'll tell you what, that's the right heart inside of a believer. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You will only achieve at your level of connection. Praise the Lord. See, we are all connected together. That was where all of that came from. Every single one of us is connected. There's no Lone Ranger. There's no one out there, you know, that's just, you know, again, all that comes from that mentality of being supply-minded. Not just let me get my stuff and then I'll throw the crutches in the corner. Don't do that with your church. Your church is not a pair of crutches. Your pastor is not a pair of crutches. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You will only achieve at your level of connection. Now, connection does not mean how much you have a personal relationship with your pastors. Meaning, listen, I might not be able to have coffee with everybody before the year's out, okay? I have not been in everyone's personal home. I have, you know, that's not the role of the pastor to you know, arrange everything, you know, personally in your life. You know, my goal is to mature you in the things of God. Amen. So sometimes people think connection level is how much of a personal connection you have with somebody in the church. Listen, there's probably many of you here tonight that, you know, many of you know each other, but you probably don't know everybody that's in the room here tonight. Or on Sunday morning, you might know a lot of the people, but you don't know every single one of them. Listen, there's could be people. You might have been here for a while. You could have been here for a couple of years or more than that. And there's people that have been part of this church for a while that they bring a supply that you need every single week, and you might not even know their name yet. We don't even realize how blessed we are when people show up day in, day out, and they're being faithful. Praise the Lord. So connection does not mean necessarily personal friendship all the time. You know what I mean? I might not be able to go out to dinner with everyone in the church. All right? It just, you know, just for the sake of, you know, the time and everything going on, I mean, that's not what a pastor is there to do. Of course, I just love everybody in this church, and I think of everybody in terms of family and friends and love and all that wonderful stuff. But first and foremost, my role is to equip you in the things of God. All right, so it's not just about a personal relationship that is your connection. All right, a connection, it is not the job of the pastors to connect you. It is your choice. It is your decision. The level of connection to the local body is up to you. It's up to you. Praise the Lord. Well, that sure got a lot of people excited, right? So you need to ask yourself, how connected are you? The reason why I ask is because the devil is very interested in this connection. The weaker the connection to your local body, the easier he can pull you away. And the easier he can pull you away, the easier he can devour your life. How connected are you? And I know I'm preaching to the choir. You're Wednesday night, folks. We need to know. We need to understand. How deep does that connection run? And again, if the connection is only as deep as your problems, you know what I mean? Your connection to your local church better be deeper than your problems. You know what I mean? It better be deeper than your problems. Praise the Lord. All right? Praise God. The devil is very interested in that connection. You need to ask yourself, how often is my pastor seeing my face? You know, come on now. How often is my pastor seeing my face? Can you bring up Romans 1:11? I want to show you what Paul said here. And we're getting ready to close. Just understanding, I love the book of Ephesians and how it just describes the seriousness of the local church. Paul said this to the Roman believers. He said, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established." Or that word established means so that to the end that you will be grown and rooted and stable in this life. He said, but I need to see you. He said, when I see you, there's going to be a spiritual gift that gets imparted to you. There's something that occurs in this relationship. He said, and it gets on you, and it makes you stronger, and it establishes you. Come on, and it prevents you from being tossed around in this life. Thank God. Thank God. Folks, can we just talk, you know, real plain and real simple? I'm gonna tell you something. I probably have said these kinds of things before, but it's really just an honest look at, you know, what I do and you know, how I pray for you guys and things. But there's certain times when there's people in our church that'll go through heavyweight trials. You know, that's, you know, people have been through big stuff, right? And we know that God is faithful. But I will tell you this, there's so many times when I've gotten down to pray for people that are going through heavyweight trials, and I can pray so much out for them when they're connected. But when they're people that are just kind of frivolous around, if they just kind of float around, you know, I see them, you know, one Sunday, and, you know, not the next, and they're here a couple of weeks a month, and they come and they go, and they just kind of float around. I try to pray people through, you know, big stuff, big trials in their life, and it's almost impossible. It's almost impossible. But yet there are so many times when people that were close and connected to this church that have, you know, come in against heavyweight stuff, the Spirit of God will come on me. I'll start speaking. I'll start prophesying in my prayer time. I mean, I can just instantly right now start thinking of so many cases, you know, how I could just look those people in the eye and say, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. It's going to overturn because they're connected. I have never seen somebody with a heavy-duty connection that has ever been devoured. I've never seen anybody fully connected. I have seen people get devoured who weren't fully connected. You know, I've seen people where they just sat there in church, they nodded their head, you know, they were, you know, happy to be there, they were very nice, but they were never connected to the local body. They were never connected to the local church. They never brought a full measure. And when that thing came upon them, devour, I would pray, and I couldn't get any of it. And then there's other people, the first time, oh my goodness, right now, I am thinking about several different scenarios of times when somebody in this church, you know, a beloved member of our church family, you know, got the evil report. The evil report tried to come upon them. And I mean, I got down in prayer. It didn't take 3 hours of prayer. It didn't take 3 weeks of prayer. It didn't take, you know, sitting in sackcloth and ashes or anything like that. All of a sudden, you know, I mean, I'm praying for 10, 15 minutes, and all of a sudden revelation power, you know, starts just flowing, and I just start speaking out how it's going to proceed and how it's going to happen. And I know my wife will attest to so many things that she prays for so many of you, things that are going on. And I would dare say my wife would agree with me that the greater the connection, the easier that power flows. And it's not about, oh, I got to be connected, you know, us as personal individuals. Oh, I got. Oh, in that case, if I got to be connected to the pastors, well, then I got to take them out to dinner more. I got to, you know, have them over to our house and stuff like that. No, it's not what it's about. It's about being connected when we're here in this situation right here. You're hungry. You just bring a full measure to your local church. I'll tell you what, if you've been faithful with your measure in your local church, if the devil tries to knock on your door, I'll tell you what, you'll be bailed out. God is faithful. He's going to carry you through because you are faithful to bring your measure to the local church. Amen. That's what serving's about. You know what I mean? You know, serving is about being connected. Praise the Lord. That's what giving's about. That's what tithing is. Tithing isn't just some kind of, you know, a Bible tax. where you got to look at it where I'm paying my taxes, I got to bring my tithe, and you have a grudge. No, no, when I tithe, when I give offerings, it's connecting me to the local body. It's making me stronger within the body of Christ. It's telling God, I want to increase the local body. Praise the Lord. You know, that's what serving does. That's what, you know, that's what praise and worship does. That's, you know, being those people that come out to special meetings and stuff. What is it doing? It's increasing your connection. It's increasing your connection. And there is a great supply from God to the people when they are connected to his body, right? What did Jesus say? One of our favorite verses around here, John 15:5. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. All right, we are in the vine. And as long, he said, if you abide in me and I in you, right? Praise the Lord. He said, you shall bear much fruit. Hallelujah. What is he saying? He's saying, stay connected. Stay connected. Stay connected. That's how you bear fruit. Amen. Listen, there's no fruit coming when you've severed the vine. There's no fruit coming when you've severed the vine. You getting some help out of this here tonight? Praise the Lord. You know, I like sometimes just to talk on a personal level. And it's not about, I'm not trying to recruit servants to myself. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to recruit personal followers. That is not the role of the pastor. And that is certainly not my goal as this church's pastor. All right? But as a family, as we're, you know, as we're close together, as we stay connected, bring that measure. There is. It's just, you know, the more you're connected to the vine, the more the power flows to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did you get any help out of this here tonight? I love the book of Ephesians. See, folks, every single one of us, even, you know, of course, it's beyond just our Wednesday night folks. We do have another half of the church, you know, that for whatever reason can't be here on Wednesday nights. But what if every born-again believer started developing that mentality that just loved and daydreamed about increasing their local church? See, those are the people that invite other people to church. See, that you want to know how this church grew and grew so quickly and, you know, established itself and had a church building built in just a short period of time? You know what it was? It was people that were hungry for the vision. And they went out and they invited people to church. You know, Pastor Brad personally, just from the get-go, I mean, when he came along, you know, just a given amount of time, it wasn't just him. I mean, he invited so many people. There's probably several of you here tonight that are here as a result of him inviting. And he brought a lot of folks that were hungry for God. Amen. And why was that? Because he just loved to see his church grow. See, that is what fills a church. Amen. It's not because the pastor's preaching is always the best. It's not always, you know what I mean? It's not because someone just, you know, walked in just on their own. It's because somebody was so excited about increasing their church, and that fire jumped on those people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, did you get some help here tonight? Yeah, praise God. Let's go ahead and let's pray, get ready to take up tonight's offering. Father, we love